What's up, guys? It's Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man, the original and best Mr. 100. I am under the weather this week, but filling in for me is me. I'll be here to take all of your questions and answer them because I didn't think of a show topic. I'm rambling at this point. Everyone's doing something at the table. It's fine. Now they're all looking at me. Now it's uncomfortable. Let me introduce the panel for tonight. Of course, at the end of the table is the Five Star Man, Asa Gray.
All five.
My very good friend who is concerned about me, and I appreciate that. To the left of me is not a friend that is concerned about me. More like a brother.
That is concerned about your health.
Jesse Kimball from Nerd Up.
Hey, how's it going?
And stabbing a piece of fluff is Ali Abear.
Hello.
AKA Foxy Baby.
I don't get it.
Still ended up on the show.
She will. that's how we do it.
What's she going to get?
It. If only Lane Austin was here.
If you keep it up, you're gonna make the list.
When you say Lane
the
Austin?
List?
Like, your list.
All right, so Jesse, there's a wrestler named Austin Lane, who's a good friend of the show,
right?
Best of the best.
I'm familiar
from Pillar to Post and from Rope to Rope, Pillar to Post. Damn it! How many months has it been, and we still can't get it right?
We can only blame it on the fact that let's go with that one.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Mm-hmm. But there's Austin Lane, who's the badass wrestler, and then there's Lane Austin, who's sexy ref. He's a buff ref.
Huh.
I don't know if you saw him or not.
Nope.
Long story. Very confusing too.
He was the ref at the Stride show that Dalton and I went to at Marion too.
And then there's this little cracker running around, little saltine named Cody Wilson, who has the handle Mr. 100 on Instagram. Or is it Twitter?
Twitter.
See, I don't know because no one checks his Twitter ever. Because he's he's not Mr. 100. I'm Mr. 100. I'll slap the sass off his face is what I'll do. Anyway.
You'll slap the gold off his boots.
I'll turn those gold boots to... I'll tarnish them. They'll be black and grim when I'm done with them. I'm sick. So I can't really think properly tonight. Because I didn't feel well, we didn't really come up with a topic for the show, so we're just kind of winging it. First off, let's start off by talking about last night and the night before. I did not get to do Nerd Up Part 2.
True.
Sometime in between Nerd Up Part 1 and when you guys successfully did Part 2, I became incredibly sick to the point that I was bedridden for the past day and a half. I finally got out today and came out and decided to do something because I just got tired of sleeping. That's all I've done is sleep. And I never sleep, so that's just so weird to me. How did last night's show go?
I think it went really well. You should give it a listen.
I should. No computer problems. Everything's back on track.
Everything's back on track. Everything went fine. It's a shorter show because, you know, we did the first part, though it still went longer than I intended it to because we started talking about Rogue One and Super Mario Run. And, that took a...
That Mario Run, too, it was in real time as Billy let me use his tablet. So I was trying to, like... get to the paywall to figure out like exactly how deep it would let you go.
Yeah, because the game was actually downloaded on day one 2.85 million times.
Yeah,
and
big.
And see, I was actually under the impression that in order to download the game, you had to buy the game, which is not true. You can download the game and play the first three levels and then a little bit of the castle before you hit the paywall.
20 seconds of the castle.
Yeah.
What's the price?
$10 for all six worlds.
I mean, that's not terrible.
It is a little bit.
For what the game actually is.
An infinite runner. It's not an infinite runner.
Well, because you only get six worlds for the $10. So, I mean,
you're
getting...
And the first one is basically free, except for the last...
So you're getting a total of, like, 24 runs.
But for a Mario game, a Mario game is usually eight worlds with a lot of levels.
I was about to say, there are a lot more than four levels per world, though. Yeah.
But, I mean, you can't... I mean,
and I will say...
It's another success.
And in its defense, there's that weird little town builder thing you can do. There's, like, time trials and, like, a versus mode. So, I mean, there's other stuff that you can do with it, but even with all of that, I definitely don't think it's worth $10.
Yeah. And when we say it was downloaded 2.85 million times, again, those are free downloads.
Yeah.
We have no idea what the number of people that actually paid the $10 are.
Well, I just tried it earlier. Billy let me try it, and I'll just say that's not my Mario. Like,
no.
I get the appeal. I'm sure there are people out there that would love to play Mario on their phone and just tap to play, but I've never been a fan of those games. I don't like cell phone games in general. The only cell phone games that I've ever really played were Flappy Birds because I got roped into that madness like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And, Pokemon Go again because I followed the hype train, but I can't remember a single cell phone game. Actually, no, Game Dev Story. Not the American one, but the Japanese one. So I've never played the American one, but the
that
Japanese
was
one
fun.
Was really fun. Yeah, I still play it occasionally. It was good.
I don't know what that is.
It's like basically you start a game company and you hire staff and you research games and it's like it's a simulator, management simulator.
Mm-hmm.
You can name the game, stuff like that. It's really basic, but it's really fun.
I feel like there was like a there's one of those, like something like that's available on Steam, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's called Game Dev. There's Game Dev Tycoon Story. And Game Dev Story. Game Dev Story is the one I played.
Okay.
Tycoon is the one Bob plays. But either way, that's a fun game. Mm-hmm. And it's a cell phone game, but whatever. And then, of course, there's ports of actual games, Final Fantasy and the like.
Which, anything that you can try to do, anything that requires an actual, like, controller, I can't do a joystick or a D-pad even on a touchscreen.
Yeah.
It never works.
It's awkward.
Yeah.
And I've downloaded those MOGA things, Jesse, you know, where you put the phone in it and it's like adds a controller.
Oh, yeah.
And that sort of works, but not for whatever reason.
There's always some sort of delay or there's something. Yeah.
Cell phone games
it.
Will never be as good as actual games.
I will say I did beat Mega Man 2 using the touch interface, like D-pad and A and B button.
I have no idea how you did that.
Yeah.
Much props.
Lots of anger, yelling, almost smashing my phone a couple of times, but I did beat it. By God.
I used to play X-Men the arcade game on my phone a lot just because it was like $3 because like you can get the version on Xbox Live or whatever. It was like 10, 15 or the cell phone version for $2.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the cell phone version. It wasn't good because it kind of lets you in on a secret. That game's not that good.
The first X-Men?
The X-Men in the arcade, like the one down at Coin Op.
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's fun when you get people together and you're playing, but that game is so unfair.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. It is not
it's
easy.
Just designed to take your quarters. Like it's not a good game. Like the Turtles are arcade games. So mm-hmm. X-Men is just too difficult. Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
I mean, it's not like we got a specific topic to get to.
We got a lot of questions.
Because I got
that was fun.
Because I mean, I've done there have been a handful of games that I get real addicted to. Like Doodle Jump was one.
Oh, I like Doodle Jump a lot.
Doodle Jump got real addicting.
But are there any games that you like? Any, I don't know what the right way to put this. Any AAA titles, like anything that's put out by a major studio that you've played?
That I've played, yes, but enjoyed a lot, not really. Like any game, I don't pay for mobile games.
Yeah.
Like I'll do the free version.
Same.
Like I'll put up with ads.
Yeah, if it's a game that I really like and it's only $1, I'll throw $1 at it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like I wouldn't pay $10 for a mobile game.
No.
Like that's just never gonna happen.
I'm hesitant to pay $10 for like a digital download game on like the PlayStation Store.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like there are games that like if because I think Journey was $15 when it first released, and it was worth every cent of that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, like Mario Run, eh?
Yeah, because it's not enough content to really be a Mario game.
Right. I mean, it's just not worth $10. But
like,
I can't think.
I'm just sitting there tapping. Like when I played it, it's like tap to jump.
Because that's all
jump,
it is.
Tap to jump. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It takes away all the things
See,
I want to do in Mario. I can't
like,
go back. I can't, you know, it's
you
not.
Can't do any real cool tricks.
Yeah. The early days of like Angry Birds. I really liked Angry Birds. I got pretty heavy into Angry Birds and Fruit Ninja. Those were like my two and Doodle Jump. Those were the three that I definitely sunk the most time into, but they were all free.
And it's a very much a casual game.
Oh yeah.
Like
it's, yeah, because it's really easy to
just
pick up,
out,
yeah,
pull up while you're waiting
time.
On, yeah, and then, or, but as the one, like we talked about last week, the ice storm that hit, I was in my apartment over on, Sheridan at the time, and I sunk a lot of hours into the tablet version of Fruit Ninja and Angry Birds. Like I was getting,
I can't do it. I can't play those games because I feel like I'm just wasting time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like, what's the point of it? And then I figured out, you know what? Life is a lot like an MMORPG. You can't beat it. There's no victory. Basically, all you do is you take on some quests, you have some adventures, some good times, some bad times, and then your subscription runs out and your character's gone.
Trying to think. I never really got into Fruit Ninja at all.
I never played it.
It's
Allie, have you played Fruit Ninja?
Yes.
Do you like it?
I get really bored of phone games
because
it's very much like you guys were saying, press down to jump, or it's just
it's
very
simple.
Repetitive.
Yeah,
they're great time killers.
Yeah.
That's what I use mobile games for.
Well, like even the best games on phones are just mediocre compared to actual
video
games.
Yeah.
I hate when people come in and say, yeah, I was going to get her a 3DS. I was going to get her a 2DS. But, you know, she's got my phone. She's playing games on there. And I want to say, yeah, but those aren't real games. I mean, they are. And far be it for me to tell anyone that their gaming preference is bad, because it's all subjective, you know, just for me.
Part of the problem, too, is a lot of the games, like especially the most popular ones, are pay to win.
Yeah.
Or even just, you know, you can download, you know, insert any random war game that you see advertised.
Mobile Strike.
Yeah. You can download it for free, but to really be able to do anything constructive, you have to put money into it.
Or you just have to be super patient.
Yeah, it's so...
But I'm so scared to ever put money into... Anytime I download a game on mobile or whatever and it's free, I don't touch it because I know it's going to make me pay later.
Yeah.
Or like Jesse said, I'm going to have to wait to do something, which sucks. I don't do that. Lindsay does. She's got a game she plays on her iPad that she buys stuff from iTunes occasionally, like $3 here, $4 there. And there's a part of me that thinks that's silly, but I mean, I just dropped like $20 the other day on Elder Scrolls Online to get like a suit and some hair. So it's the same thing, just on different platforms.
I was about to say, with money that you and I have spent on like
Marvel Heroes. Yeah.
Heroes of the Storm.
I paid $20 for that Scarlet Spider. Remember?
I do. We need to play the game again.
I need a computer.
Yeah, that's true.
Fans, if you want to donate to Shannon's computer fund, go to patreon.com/podzilla1985.
That's not what that money goes to at all.
No. Okay. Come into the gaming grounds, 709 Broadway, Cape Girardeau, and hand me money.
Yeah. Cause folks, Shannon has no access to this Patreon money.
No, he doesn't. And that's something we need to talk about sometime.
We can talk about it.
Not on the air. Never air your dirty laundry where the people can hear it.
I don't even remember what I was going to say.
The people that are still listening.
But, you're boycotting Marvel Heroes, remember?
Till Jubilee comes in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Which was supposed to be this year. They said they were going to put Jubilee in and they pushed it back.
Yeah, they've been going full Blizzard on the Soon trademark.
They basically just put in whatever's hot at the moment. Like when Guardians of the Galaxy came out, all of a sudden now you can play as
Star-Lord,
and then they put Gamora and Drax in the game.
As team-ups, right? Yeah, because I don't think you can actually play as...
You can only play as Rocket or Star-Lord.
Right.
And then everybody else is team-ups. And then, of course, you know, when Civil War came out, or when Ultron came out, they put Ultron in and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I thought whenever the new X-Men Apocalypse movie came out, maybe Jubilee would get put in because
her scenes got cut.
They really did.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't go to the theater to see it.
But no, like, I do, speaking of Marvel, like, there's one mobile game that I have been, like, consistently addicted to.
This is true.
It's a game called Marvel Puzzle Quest.
Yeah.
And, I can't stop playing that game.
No, we can't.
Can confirm, have seen.
Yeah. Usually when we're recording here, Lindsay is playing either Pokemon or one of her games that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Jesse's always on Marvel Puzzle Quest.
To be fair, I only jump on Marvel Puzzle Quest when we're doing, like, the pre-recording stuff. Once we actually get going, I turn off the phone.
And I don't care. Like, I know it sounds like I'm picking on people. I don't care. Because I never usually have I had a problem with anyone at the table doing something while we record. Because I'm the kind of person that I do extra stuff when I'm doing stuff. The only reason I don't do it now is because Jesse knows you have to watch this screen like a hawk to make sure
Audacity's not going to freeze up.
Say, otherwise, then you're like, oh, yeah, we missed that last 5 minutes.
Yeah, because you don't want to look back and go, oh, it stopped recording 30 minutes ago. Well, that was a complete waste of time.
Yep.
So I have to keep my eyes glued to this screen almost constantly. But, you know, everyone else, I've seen people Snapchatting. I've seen, you know, and it's whatever. We do a good show, so it doesn't matter.
Mm. As long as everybody's all paying attention, no worries.
It's whenever that hit of, wait, what were we talking about?
Yeah.
Cause like last night when we were doing, Nerd Up and the spoiler free review, I kind of actively tried to tone out a little bit while you and Dalton were talking about Rogue One because I hadn't seen it yet. And so I wanted as little to seep through as possible. So that's when I was really trying to work on that Mario run. Like,
and you've seen it now.
Yeah. So I saw it today.
One word review for the people out there listening that wondered what the 5-star, how many stars would a 5-star man give it?
Now, we don't do star ratings.
He does. Cause he's a 5-star man.
It's probably my favorite Star Wars movie. I need to go back and I think I'm going to rewatch the original trilogy again, within the next couple days.
Jesse, are we doing Star Wars on Christmas Day again?
I gotta be at the radio station.
Oh, that's terrible. Shame on you, 99.3. Or was it,
I mean, it's just
Hunter,
River Radio.
Just play Hunter.
Yeah.
Hunter, why would you schedule Jesse?
On Christmas Day.
And shame on you, Nintendo. I know this isn't
Hunter,
Nerd
I know
Up.
You didn't do it. I'm sorry.
I want to throw some shade at Nintendo real quick. Because John Volkerding posted on, I think it was Twitter, posted a picture of a Best Buy ticket, number 5, for the Classic Mini. And he was like, hey, I got one. And I was like, oh, that's cool. But then I saw his other message and it was like, got here at 3 a.m. Waited till from 3 a.m. to 6:30 a.m. 50 people in line starting at midnight almost because it leaked out that Best Buy was getting some in.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody got one. So some people waited out there for 6 hours for nothing.
That's
shame on you, Nintendo. You knew that this was going to be hot and you still did this.
I just have to imagine that at some point you ask the Best Buy, like, so how many do you have? We have 30. Okay, well, I'm the 40th person in line.
Well, here's the thing.
So
from what I understand of, at least until the morning, Best Buy wasn't, no one was there. These people waited outside to an empty store.
Until like 6:30.
Until somebody
when someone
came
showed
in.
Up and yeah. like, oh, we only have, oh yeah. That's
and they started handing out tickets.
Especially because I don't remember if we talked about it at all, but, the Nintendo Mini NES sold the same amount as the Wii U did in 1 month as the Wii U did in its first 6 months.
Yeah.
Now imagine how many of those things would have sold if they'd made more than 40 of them.
Yeah. And imagine how many people wouldn't have made $300-$400 a pop selling them online.
Yeah. It's actually a twofold joke because, Whenever you said if they had made more than 40 of them, you also implied that only 40 Wii U's sold in the first 6 months.
I mean,
I bought one.
I was going to say Shannon bought one of them. I think Krista bought one of them in the first 6 months.
This is really bad. I mean, this is really shameful for Nintendo, and they should feel bad about this.
Yeah, it's
the people waiting outside for 6 hours in the cold. John said that one dude was like literally had a lighter and was putting it under his feet to keep his feet warm.
Oh. And see, honestly, like.
And you would say, well, those people are idiots. Why would they wait out line for that long? It's like, okay, if you have kids.
Oh, no, definitely not idiots, but I mean, you gotta come prepared. You need to be bundled up, blankets.
Especially if you're gonna come out, you know it's cold and you're gonna be there at 3 a.m. And it's one of those things, like, I don't blame Nintendo for those people being there. I do blame Nintendo for not, you know, producing enough units to actually sell.
Nintendo created the situation. But they didn't bring the people there. Like, it's not Nintendo's fault those people came.
Right.
But it's Nintendo's fault that they came. Like, they created the problem.
When it first came out in November, if they had just made enough that...
Or if they put out more now, because now they clearly know that demand is high,
mm-hmm.
and they're still only releasing them in bundles. Like, Nintendo always does this. They did this with the Wii U. They did this with the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
They did it with Amiibos. And every time, people get more pissed off and more pissed off. At some point, they're going to stop supporting Nintendo. Oh, I forgot. Most of them already have.
Well, and they've already announced that they're not shipping as many of the Switch as they did as the Wii U.
And I think there's no pre-orders for it either.
Yeah.
Go to
we actually had someone call last night. Or no, it was one of the regulars that comes in asked if we were doing pre-orders on it. And I was just like, no. Well, I told him at the time, like, well, we don't have a final price point, so we don't know what to set it.
We are definitely not doing pre-orders
on it.
And
then that's what Billy's like, I would just tell people we're not doing pre-orders.
Because we made the mistake of doing pre-orders for the Mini,
mm-hmm.
thinking, oh, we can at least get two. Mm-hmm. No, couldn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God-awful, and Nintendo should really, really, I can't say enough bad.
Nintendo's just shooting themselves in the foot with it, really. Like, once again... Nintendo has the ability to print money, and they are refusing to do so.
And a chance to give goodwill, because Nintendo has lost a lot of goodwill in the past few years.
Yeah.
Whereas they keep doing things the wrong way, and Xbox and Sony are doing things the right way, to an extent. You know, you never hear about...
Sony.
Microsoft. I mean, Microsoft is definitely rebuilding some bridges they tried to take out.
Microsoft's killing it right now, like from a... From a customer standpoint,
mm-hmm.
I think Microsoft's doing a better job than Sony.
I'd agree
with absolutely.
That.
But Nintendo's still doing the worst.
Hands down.
Especially, which is a shame.
And they also just lost quite a bit of hype, if you believe the internet, because it came out that, some of the specs actually released for the Switch. So it's not as powerful. And when it's docked, it is just shy of, or it's less powerful than the original, like, Xbox One. Which was already less powerful than the PS4, which that's not really surprising.
No.
And then when it's out of the dock, it is better than, it's like way better than a 3DS, but it still falls well short of the actual docked specs.
See, I was thinking it was going to have the same hardware regardless.
And they canceled Breath of the Wild on Wii U. I don't know if you talked about that on
there. Not yet. We did talk about it, mm-hmm. but that's just a rumor as of right now. Nintendo hasn't officially canceled it.
It wouldn't surprise me if they just gave up on Wii U completely and just said, no, we're going to go. They're banking all their money.
Well,
on
I mean, Switch. They already kind of talked about how they're eyeing at canceling production already.
You know what really upset, nothing upset me, but I kind of laughed.
Wii U's are going to be out of production at the beginning of next year.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I remember we talked about that like a month or so ago.
Yeah. That's definitely happening.
I don't know if it was IGN or if it was, Kotaku or something, but somebody was talking about the Switch. And they were previewing it, and they said, you know, thank God Nintendo's putting out an actual system. This time, no gimmicks, nothing like that. And I thought, no gimmicks? This is the gimmick box.
Yeah.
This is the Nintendo gimmick.
It's a less stupid gimmick than, like, motion controls. Or the gamepad.
Now it's like a gamepad that is the system that also comes apart. It's cool, but man.
But I mean, you can still play it like a traditional system.
Right. There's no need for the
right. Like,
the
there's
screen.
Nothing that requires you to take it out of the dock to play it.
It's optional.
Yeah.
As opposed to the Wii and the Wii U, those were.
Yeah, like the motion controls were completely required. The gamepad was completely required.
I think Nintendo really missed an opportunity to go back to cartridge.
They are going back to cartridge.
With this one?
Yeah. It's the Switch is cartridge.
I didn't mean,
it's like those three, it's like the 3DS.
Yeah, what I mean is like big cartridge.
Oh, like Super Nintendo?
Yeah. Like to give that nostalgic feel.
I mean,
clearly by the many, people love nostalgia.
On the one hand, I can see people like wanting to do that, like just nostalgic, put in a, you know, good sized cartridge in there.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, like 2016, 17, you know, everything's sleeker. Everything needs to be smaller. You can get 3 terabytes on a little.
Right. Plus, can you imagine how big the Switch would have to be to like support a Super Nintendo cartridge?
Oh yeah.
Because it's like 3DS size cartridges that are in there now.
Right.
Yeah. You throw one of those things in, it would like triple the thickness.
It would be like the Sega hand portable
Nomad.
Now. No. The newer ones where it plays Genesis games on the go.
Are you talking about the ones that are in, you talking about the Nomad?
Is that what it's called? Because no, it's one of the. It's not an actual Sega one. It's one of the like Yobo Hyperkin,
where
you can like
yeah,
it's one of the bootlegs where you can plug in, or maybe it is a Super Nintendo one.
It is Super Nintendo.
Okay,
that we carry.
Yeah,
it's the Super Boy or whatever it's called.
No idea what it's called.
But to be fair, there is a Sega Genesis one called the Nomad that was licensed by Sega that plays Sega cards.
See, but wasn't that like originally like in the when the Genesis was?
Yes, it was
like
original time.
Yeah. It was straight up a handheld Sega Genesis.
But it was like 18.
Billy didn't want to slap my hands. He's jealous.
Something like that.
Like 9 volts, and it would hold. You could load up
about
the
2 hours.
Sega.
it's like the Game Gear. I've got a power cable for it, thank God. Because if you didn't,
yeah, the Game Gear was not a mobile system. I don't care what they said.
Bad as the Virtual Boy.
It was only a mobile system if you had a brand new case of batteries. That would last you about a trip from here to St. Louis.
And thank God, kids, if you're listening to the show and you're younger than us, because I used to have rechargeable batteries, like the kinds that you literally had to put in a thing, close it, and it would charge it overnight, and then you take them out and use them again. That was terrible. Mm-hmm. It was all terrible.
No. Remember when those first came out, they were amazing. Because we would just buy a pack of those, and then, like, I remember my Game Boy takes 2 AA's. I would have, like, 2 constantly charging. And then whenever the batteries would die, pop those 2 in, take the dead ones, put them in.
Just switch out.
Yeah. Yep. That was way better than like hunting around the house for AA's, or God forbid we were out of AA's and mom hadn't bought any new ones.
Yeah.
But then of course the Game Boy Advance SP happened.
Was the most glorious thing ever was when they put the lithium battery on.
Everything about that system.
Plus the backlighting.
Yeah.
And let me just ask, while we're on the topic of, I know this just kind of went random, but while we're on the topic of systems and batteries and stuff, Microsoft, why you know put a rechargeable battery with your controllers?
They sell it separately.
Yes, they do. There's your answer, folks.
No, yeah, it really is.
Yeah, no, it's a separate attachment.
I've had people come in and complain
about it.
Xbox
360.
They're the only system that does it. Even Nintendo, who still thinks of the civil rights movement as trouble ahead, puts in rechargeable batteries.
Yeah, and you can get that 3 hours out of that Wii U gamepad.
Yes, you can. But don't worry, you'll only play it for about an hour.
Before you get bored with it.
Oh, it's got Smash.
And
I really like the Wii U.
You're using a GameCube controller for that.
No, I use the gamepad. I'm the weird guy. I love the gamepad. I do. Because it's big, and I have these big sausage hands.
And that's why I really don't think you're gonna like the Switch that much.
Because how tiny the controllers are?
Yeah, especially on the, you know, if you remove the controllers from the sides, like whenever
it's portable.
Oh, that's
gonna be
portable,
fun. It's just gonna be these little bitty guys.
You're playing on a Twitch bar.
Like,
it'll be good for me
right
in my, like, I'm like, you know, I have high schooler hands.
You have Trump hands.
Why would you say that?
High schooler hands was better.
Yeah, Trump's got like middle school hands. So
elementary.
Asa's staring at me so hard. I'm so sorry. Asa, no, Asa.
That's probably the most hurtful thing you've ever said to Asa.
To his face.
Oh no.
No.
What?
No, I'm so sorry.
Click.
Why is this? The show has gone bad in like 2 seconds.
Glad I kept the receipt for your Christmas present.
Did you give me some?
Shut up.
I got you something.
Not anymore.
I got you something a long time ago that I was like, I hope I get Asa for Secret Santa so I can give it to him. I didn't. So now I'm gonna give it to you anyway.
No.
Because you surprised me last year, you and Jesse both, and you got me a Godzilla comic.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse got me
I don't remember
either.
I was going to say, because I saw it, like, it was, I think I got it at Hastings last year. It was like a graphic novel or something. Yeah.
Because Asa know I love my Godzilla. Mm-hmm.
And I know 1 year I got you a Magneto figure.
You did. That was a spectacular, gift.
Am I the only person who, whenever you see someone open a present that you got for them, your first thing that you say is, so I kept the receipt. Don't worry. I kept the receipt. Cause like, I'm just so sure that whatever I get anyone, it's going to be dumb.
Yeah.
Like I blurted it out at my roommate when we exchanged gifts the other day.
I don't know what I hate more. I don't know if I hate watching people open my gifts more mm-hmm. or people watching me open gifts. Because it goes two ways. If you watch someone open a gift that you gave them, mm-hmm. your first instincts always go, oh, they're going to hate that. I don't want them to open that. But if you're opening the gift, people are watching you, you have to put on a show that no matter what it is, mm-hmm. that's what you wanted more than anything.
My roommate is a huge Doctor Strange fan. So at Barnes & Noble had this like, it wasn't quite a picture book, but it was like a coffee table book of like the history of the character. I was like, I know you already know all of this, but I thought it would just be kind of like a neat, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, here's this, you know, break kind of different story arcs yeah. down. Like it had the, before Secret Wars, the incursion events. Like it included stuff like that in the Illuminati and Ooh. Stuff like that. Just kind of like a real brief synopsis of what had happened. And then he got me a Villainous Grounds gift card and a booster pack of Pokemon cards.
Nice.
Wait, this year?
Yeah.
You guys already exchanged gifts?
Yeah.
It ain't Christmas.
Oh, I'm the worst. I love giving gifts because it's like, you guys may not know this about me, but sometimes I'm quite withholding on actual feelings because gross. So it's like, oh, I can put a monetary value and just be like, here. I spent money on you for a thing because I thought of you. Here you go.
See, that's what I told Allie the other day. I was like, she's upset because I got her all these gifts and she didn't give me as many.
Today,
but so I told her, I said, you don't have to give me those gifts because part of I just like going, okay, well, I'm terrible as a human being, mm-hmm. but here's things I can give you instead.
That's kind of how because I never expect anything in return.
No, and nor like, do I get want anything.
If I get someone a Too Christmas bad. Gift, because I don't like getting stuff.
No, me neither.
At the same time, like, so Too it's bad. Like, I'll get you things, but don't give me anything and don't look at me anymore. So I'm,
don't call me or talk to me, but I love you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like sometimes I'm just going to sit in bed for a while and just hang out.
See, I just really like giving people gifts.
I do too.
Just, yeah, it's just a fun time for me. And I'm also like really, yeah. really terrible about waiting until Christmas to give someone a gift if I bought it for them.
Oh yeah, I've already given gifts for like to two people already.
So yeah, like if I got you something, unless it's for like a Secret Santa where we have a set day where we have to exchange, mm-hmm. if I've just bought you a Christmas gift, then, and you don't have it, that means it's either in shipment or you're not getting one from me.
Which is fine. Christmas is about giving, not getting.
Right. And then that's seriously like, I would rather, you know, give someone something than.
Go spread some joy this year, mm-hmm. you selfish bastards.
Monsters.
How about you, Foxy Baby?
What?
Hey, we have some questions. We better get to these. We're half an hour into the show, and I did promise the people that we'd talk.
I don't know why you think we ever need to just kill time.
You know, the banter between us.
I was going to say, even just the two of us, and then throw Jesse in the mix.
And Allie.
How much have I said?
You're also making
I don't mean
something.
That as a slight to Allie at all. Like,
that's
I mean,
okay.
It's the same thing I talked to. Like,
that's my role in every show.
Like talking to Dalton, like the nerd up we did a couple weeks ago where it was just Jesse and I. It's like, I don't mean it as a slight to Dalton, but if it's going to be a two-person cast, that's
what you can ask
that's
for.
The one that you're going to hope for out yeah. of like the regular Nerd Up crew. Like, and I don't mean that as a slight to anyone else that's on the shows.
No, it's just, it's easier. There are certain people that carry certain roles.
Mm-hmm.
But you would never want Stephanie to be the second person. You don't want her to be the second in command. You know, Stephanie's a good third. She'll pitch in when she has a comment.
Yeah, she's got some, especially she's on, like, got the specialty some, like, witty one-liners. Like, it's... Sometimes it's good stuff, but yeah, no, like I definitely can't do like an hour long one on one with Steph.
No,
I think we would run out of stuff to talk about real fast.
I think the worst show I've ever done. Now, we always talk about what's the worst show we've ever done here. The worst show that I ever did from that standpoint was easily Zach Kurgis.
You were gonna say that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because that was, I mean, and Zach's a great guy.
But that gave us some great lines, like the food library.
Ethan.
I know, and those were all from Ethan. Ethan was the savior of that show.
He was. Ethan knocked it out of the park, but talking to Zach on that show was like pulling teeth. You know,
yeah.
that was my episode that I'll always go, yeah, that was the most uncomfortable thing I've done, right there. So, not the worst show we've done, but just the most uncomfortable. We got some people on here who asked us some questions. It's used the usual gang, but. You know, they're always good for a larf. I don't understand what's happening with Becky Lynch.
I was going to say, I wasn't going to draw attention to it, but like, yeah, I don't know what Becky Lynch is wearing.
She's
on
wearing
Talking Smack.
Red Riding Hood.
It almost looks like
Anna
from
cape and a blue leotard?
It reminds me of Anna from Frozen. But I don't
I would need to see
for.
More of the...
I'm thinking Red Riding Hood.
This is what happens when
but
we miss
no
SmackDown.
But there's no hood!
Oh, no, she was wearing it wrestling. Oh, is she wearing a mask? Is she doing the Juan Cena thing? I don't know what she's
doing. I'm so confused.
Yeah, John Cena was banned from Raw for a while. Mm-hmm. So his Mexican brother showed up, or cousin or something, and his name was Juan Cena, and he wore a luchador mask.
Oh, apparently she beat Alexa Bliss. We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
We're doing every other show, but
this is
one
rambling,
right now.
Rambling Mick Shenanigans.
Rambling Mick Shenanigans?
Yeah. Three guys, a girl, and no topic. That's tonight's show. You know Mike Branham?
Yeah.
Little red hair guy.
I like that guy.
He is. We need to get him on the show again sometime.
We do.
He's done two or three with us, I think.
Yeah.
He was on last year with the Force Awakens episode. Mm-hmm. He did that with us. That was fun. Mike Branham says, this is a fun one. Pick a Podzilla crew member to be your tag team partner, then pick two more crew members for your dream fight. Okay. Now, he's not the partner that I'd want because I think we'd have the best moves or chemistry, but Jesse would be my partner because me and Jesse together, other than Tanner, but Tanner's got a baby. He's sensitive. Me and Jesse would just destroy everything in our path, and our opponents would be Dalton and CJ.
So,
no, you know what? No,
I was gonna say, but you're cheating to include CJ's part.
No,
of
you know what? You know, pull Dalton. I like Dalton. Put Steven in there. Get him back for all the times he's annoyed me with his.
See, but what
yelling
that,
and
what
cursing.
That rage might just come out and like him. He just jumps straight to Super Saiyan 2.
Oh, I'm sure he would. You remember Mr. Furious from Mystery Men?
Yeah.
That would be Steven. And then
he'd get some like adrenaline hits, and then we're like, oh, we got to take this seriously real quick. Hold on.
Still would not take him seriously. I would snap his little ass in half, for sure.
I said it for a second.
Jesse, what about you? Who's your tag team partner? Who do you want to fight?
I mean, it would have to be you. And as for who to fight, well, like, because it is kind of like, I feel like CJ is cheating a little.
Here, I'll tell you what. All right, forget me and you. You take an intergender match. Pick a female as your partner.
Mandy.
You and Mandy versus now pick a guy and a girl.
Ooh. I don't know. As far as like fair matchups, I think like
Tanner and
this is how you know you're a good person, because my initial thought was, okay, Shannon, and we're going to do Enzo and Big Cass. And then it's just going to be Dalton and Dalton.
Dalton.
Like, that was the...
That's the worst CBS drama, Dalton and Dalton.
Because I guess it's one of those things, like, if you want to try and think of a fair match, because there really is no, like, fair match in Podzilla that's me and you versus anybody else.
Except Tanner.
Like, Tanner...
Just based on sheer size alone.
Yeah, I mean, Tanner and Cody.
They're big, yeah, but I think the thing that really separates
I don't
me...
think Cody would actually want to hurt anybody until someone says Ghostbusters. And then, like we talked about last week, and then that, you know, it's the Festus when the bell rings. He just goes into a rage and...
I don't think, if you're looking at it from like a literal fight standpoint, like we're actually fighting, I don't think there's anyone on this show that has put more time into like fighting than me. Like punching and stuff like that and actually getting in fights. I think I have the most experience than anybody here at the show.
That depends. Do you count siblings?
That's a hard one.
Because me and my little brother beat the crap out of each other for 14 years of my life.
Yeah, we'll count that. And I'm sure Tanner's thrown a punch at something. He probably knocked out a raccoon or two.
Because, I mean, I have had fights with other people. Like, admittedly, not very many. Like maybe four or five in my lifetime.
I'm a scrapper.
I used to be a scrapper. I'm changing my answer. I'm the manager for Cody and Tanner. And I'm going to reveal, like, just pull out of the ring. I'm just going to toss it to whoever, like, to Dalton. It's a bucket and a copy of Ghostbusters. And they're both just going to be like, you know what? No, yeah. It's like, look what he brought.
Blind
look
rage.
What he brought.
Blind rage.
Yep.
So yeah, like I said, there's not really a fair fight for that tag team, but I think that it would be reasonably fair at least. For, like, say, me and Mandy versus you and... I want to say Allie.
I think you'd have to say Lindsay. Because Lindsay's a little bigger than Mandy, but Lindsay has the rage. Like, whereas Mandy is, like, crazy
and
wiry.
Well, see, that's the thing. Mandy would be the one with the rage.
Well, so that's what I'm saying. The only girl I can think of on the show that can match rage for rage is Lindsay. Because Lindsay, when she gets upset, like, she is a torrent of destruction. I don't think Allie has it in her, and I don't think Stephanie has it in her.
I'm just able to.
They'd use their words.
Words.
Yeah, no, Mandy would freak out. Like, yeah. she's
Lindsay and Mandy, it would be full on Jerry Springer, hair pulling, drop kicks. You and I would stop fighting.
I was about to say, we just like back away slowly.
Eating pop. We're all eating popcorn. Allie, what about you?
I don't know. This is such a hard question for me because.
Well, it's.
I don't know.
I mean, the obvious feud, the money feud there is you and Lindsay going against each other. Because that's a fight that the fans have wanted to see for years.
Mm-hmm.
But you could switch up. Tag with her. Because you guys have this new friendship thing.
Be the Sheamus Cesaro.
Yeah. And you can fight Stephanie and Mandy.
I don't know who would win that fight.
All of you women can team up on Dalton. And just claw his eyes out.
You know, I did want to say, Dalton's probably really upset right now that you didn't say him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. The fact that the bung yucks were neglected is heartbreaking.
Or you can pick a good team.
But I'm going strictly from reality. Yeah. Like, let's look at this realistically. Me and Dalton are not going to hurt. Like, we couldn't even hurt your guys' feelings if we tried.
Well, that's probably not true.
I'll say that's not true. Yeah. Physically, though.
Well, I wouldn't want to hurt your feelings. Like, if it's a match, like, okay. You're in it to win it.
I feel like
the physical pain will heal.
I feel like anytime there's a fight or there's going to be a fight, the first people you would want to call on the show are me and Jesse and Tanner, based on sheer size alone.
Oh yeah,
because we terrorize.
It's that intimidation factor. That's why I never had gotten in many fights in my youth, because most people I never had bullies. Like I was the nerdy kid, but nobody ever picked on me.
I had bullies. I had bullies and then I bullied for a little bit. And then I realized that it very much came from a place of, well, at least they're not picking on me. Like if we pick on someone else, that means I'm safe. And, if you're listening to this show when you're younger and that's where you're at, don't do that. Like
just stop now.
Just stop.
Just be the passive guy that everybody, you know, likes to
or stand up and protect the people that are getting bullied. Like I know that sounds like a big thing, but if I could go back, that's one of the biggest things I regret is I wish I could go back and stand up for the people that I saw getting bullied. And just say something or just do something instead of just walk by because I didn't want to start trouble. That's one of my regrets.
See, whenever I was a kid, like in no school that I ever went to, was there any one person that really got bullied a lot?
Oh my God.
Like there were
Meridian was terrible.
Like there were douchebags that would say and do douchey things, but like they were never like violent. They were never just like, it never crossed any lines. It was just the general like kids picking on you have acne. Like, okay, yeah, he's got acne.
Yeah, but see, in my school, they did that too, but it wasn't just, you have acne. I mean, me personally, I had acne really bad when I was younger, and they would bring that up in class constantly. What's that on your face? What's wrong with you? And you hear that enough, and it affects you.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I wanted to talk about on Saturday's show, which I didn't do because I didn't feel well, was there's a girl who was cyberbullied and bullied to no end. And she actually pulled a gun out in front of her family and shot herself and killed herself. And even after she killed herself, those people are still bullying her family online. And like,
Jesus.
Yeah, they're sending pictures of like her head on like a pig's body and stuff like that. It's terrible. I can't understand why people are the way they are. I never will understand that.
Me and Jesse actually went to the same high school, just at different times.
True. Also worked in the same place.
That is also true.
You can say
whenever,
Jesse was a trailblazer for Allie.
Whenever I went there, people would spit on you. Like, that was how, because I got spit on in high school. And I also knew another guy that got spit on in high school. That's what I heard most of the time was people getting spit on.
See, that was not happening when I was there.
That...
Like, Cape Central is actually the most...
Someone threatened to push me downstairs.
Jeez. Whenever I was at Cape Central, that was literally the most mild school I've ever... Like, it's, I didn't... Kids weren't even making fun of each other. Like, there were different groups of friends. Like, everybody was actually super civil and cool.
That's mostly what it was, but you would still hear at times of, well, I got spit on.
I dare someone to spit on me. Obviously not anyone that I know because I like them. They know I'll stare.
But it's like, what was it? Why?
But if let a stranger ever spit on me or someone I know, I will demolish them.
You know, this is not cool. There was whenever I was in New Madrid, there was this super fun game going around. I say super fun. It wasn't. It was called Shotgun. Basically,
definitely can't play that game in schools anymore.
They played that
in Columbine. Yeah, anyway, so basically the way this game was played, whenever you walked into a room, you had to say safety. And if you didn't, someone would yell shotgun and run up and punch you in the junk.
Oh, see, we had a similar game at Meridian, except no one said safety or asked or there were rules. People just walked through the halls punching each other in the junk.
It's the worst game.
It's the stupidest thing that stupid people do.
We had the circle game, which was just, because, you know, when a big enough group congregates, you kind of form a circle so everyone can talk to each other. Well, if the group would suddenly kind of move, if someone found themselves in the middle of the circle, it would just kind of like mosh pitted, and you just kind of pushed them around. But like, if someone, like, it wasn't like punches.
It wasn't
or kicks.
Violent.
Yeah, it wasn't super violent. It was just like.
No, where I went to school, we beat the shit out of each other constantly.
Or people would throw quarters into the middle of it, and then, like, someone would drop a quarter, and someone would bend down to pick it up, and then, oh, they're in the circle.
See, when someone would bend down to pick something up when I was younger, I remember there was one guy in particular, Clarence Foss. I'm putting him on blast. When people would, like, he'd be sitting on the bleachers and someone would reach over to grab something, people would, like, grab their head and kind of push it toward the crotch and make the slurp noise, and then everyone would laugh, like, ah.
Yeah, that happened whenever I was in school, too.
That didn't happen to you, did it?
No.
Good, because I'm writing a list of people I need to whoop.
A list?
The
good thing is Clarence Foss is still a piece of shit. I saw him not too long ago, and he's still garbage, so.
Again. Never experienced anything like that.
Oh, yeah. I went to a terrible school. I went to a terrible, terrible school.
Like I said, New Madrid was the only one that I've ever been to where games like Shotgun, there was another one called like Hard One. It was the dumbest thing.
Hard One.
Yeah. So basically, here's how this game was played. Whenever you said something stupid, someone would say, "Gimme one." And then they would just like run up, and it was the weirdest thing. They would run up to you, and then I'm trying to explain this for the audio podcast here. They would take like their index knuckle and then just come up and like hit you under the chin with it. Just hit you under the chin.
I don't understand the basis of this game.
What?
And it also like, if they made like the circle with their hand, did it below like their waist. It was the same thing.
We do that
Give
at
me
work.
One.
That's actually something that they do at work. Is the circle game. Like, yeah. It's just.
What is the consequence of looking into the circle?
There is no consequence at work because you will get fired. I'm assuming it used to be, you know, you got to punch someone in the shoulder or, you know, you got a free hit.
Here's what I used to do in high
school.
Well,
that was a waiting thing, wasn't it?
It's the PG version of the waiting thing.
Right, yeah, because the waiting thing was actually the...
Just sexual harassment. Yeah. That was sexual assault, is what that is.
I would just diamond cut people in school. I would literally run behind someone while they were walking down the hall, jump in the air, hit them with a diamond cutter, and run off.
Chad Friend. because he was the only other person that I really knew in high school that watched wrestling with any sort of frequency. And so every once in a while, if we could kind of just like slowly walk past him and just jump up, RKO!
Which was the RKO was the diamond cutter of your day.
Well, this one's a jump.
Well, I jumped. I jumped. Don't worry.
Innovator.
They didn't like
it. You invented it.
Lindsay has a question. She says, DuckTales or Rescue Rangers, which is better and why? And she said that I can't default to Darkwing Duck. Mike Branham had a good point that when there is trouble, you do call DW.
She didn't say I couldn't. Darkwing Duck.
I'm just going to make this one real quick. DuckTales.
DuckTales.
Had Gizmo Duck.
I watched
DuckTales.
What'd you say?
I was going to say, I watched a lot more DuckTales than I did Rescue Rangers.
I love Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
And I actually think I watched more Rescue Rangers as a kid, but I remember liking DuckTales more.
I liked Rescue Rangers just fine. It's just, yeah, I watched a lot more DuckTales, and I liked DuckTales a lot more.
I accept that. But Darkwing Duck is still my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Darkwing Duck is better than both of them.
Aaron Picard says, who is trying to kill you this time? Aaron, I wish I knew. God, I'm assuming.
As per usual.
If you have a line with them, let me know. If you could watch anyone in concert, who would you see, what venue, and when? I have nothing to say for venue and when because those things aren't important to me because I don't know any venues. Mm-hmm. So I'll just say Pops and Sajay because Kirby Ray says it over.
Don't do Pops.
Don't do Pageant. Do Pageant. We'll do Pageant.
Yeah. Do Pageant.
And if I could see anybody in concert, it would be Haw. Actually, I don't know that.
Because you're not a big live music person.
I'm not. I've been to one concert in my entire life, and it was Kansas and Styx and John Waite.
Wasn't that at the SEMA District Fair, or was that
no,
at
no,
the Show Me Center?
No, this was at Show Me Center. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll say Motion City Soundtrack, because I never got to see them before they disbanded. Mm-hmm. Or Coheed and Cambria. One of the two.
I've seen Coheed and Cambria does an amazing show.
You
I have
saw
seen
you
them live.
You met Claudio. You hung out with Claudio.
I did. Actually. I've got a picture of it as my profile picture on Facebook from a few years ago.
That was really cool. Very cool. But who would you see in concert if you could? Right now.
I don't know. I still want to see System of a Down in concert because I always heard that they put on a great show.
Yeah.
I've been to a bunch of just really good shows, so I don't know. I'm just going to stick with System of a Down because there are a lot of people that I would want to rewatch, and there's a lot of people that I want to watch, but I know System of a Down is one of those ones that I will likely never get to. So, yeah, if I could...
Well, they have a new album coming out.
Yeah, they're reuniting.
So,
and it feels so good.
They may be touring because that's where they make... That's where bands make their money. Is
true. Yeah. If they go touring, Krista, if you're listening, we needs to go.
Ace, what about you?
I also have been really lucky, seeing a lot of really great concerts. I'm gonna cheat and say I would like to go back to my first year of Bonnaroo, and so I could see the stuff that I had to miss because the way Bonnaroo works, it's a 3-day music festival, and there are, you know, at least 8 stages, and stuff is going at all times. So say you want
to
see.
So you have to pick and choose.
If you want to see Death Cab for Cutie, you might have to miss another band that you really like.
It's kind of like a convention, but for concerts.
Yeah. Right. So there were some choices I had to make. Like, I didn't actually get to see Flobots, but that is the, cause I caught like maybe the tail.
Flobots.
I caught maybe the tail end because another concert got out. So I would probably say that, or, oh, no, the I Am Donald tour. I would have loved to be able to go to an I Am Donald tour.
Is that Donald Glover?
That is Donald Glover, Childish Gambino. It was a split tour where every show he would do stand up and then he closed it out as a performance with Childish Gambino.
That sounds pretty cool.
And it does sound awesome.
Yeah. And I think he had one in St. Louis or maybe Chicago was the closest one. But I didn't get to go and I really, really want to.
That does sound awesome.
Yeah.
Allie?
Well, the only, because I'm not a big live music person either, mostly because of the crowd.
But you've been to a lot of concerts.
I've been to a lot. I've been to a few. If I have a seat, that's completely different. I'm fine with that. But, like, being in the pit or whatever I don't like
it. That's why I love the pageant.
I was about to say, if you go to the pageant, and Pops is not this way. That's why I recommended the pageant. The pageant has, like,
a balcony.
They have, they have a bunch of areas where you can sit and hang out and watch. And then there's the mosh pit down below if you want to jump down there. Because, like, in my opinion, the only way to watch Flogging Molly or Dropkick Murphys is from the pit. Because that's where have fun.
See, but there's a difference between Jesse going into a mosh pit and myself or Allie going into a mosh pit.
Sonia Allen. Thurman, I guess, now.
Technically.
Yeah, if she still listens to the show. She went to a few of these concerts with us. She was about Mandy-sized, but, like, maybe 2 inches taller.
Yeah.
And she did just fine.
Whenever I get in crowds, I don't know if it has to do with, especially if the air becomes still. If there's moving air, I'm normally okay, but if the air is ever still, I can pass out.
Avoid mosh pits.
Crowds. But if I had to see someone, it would be 21 Pilots, because that's, like, one of my favorite bands and the one that I haven't seen. So
that's one of the things that I'm bummed about is that, like, all of the all of my growing up favorite bands
have broken up.
But not that they've broken up, but I have yet. So, like, Modest Mouse, Blue October, Yellow Card, I have heard nothing but terrible things about them live.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That just, they don't do a good live show.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Well, good news. They're breaking up this year, too, so.
I know.
Yeah. Screw 2016.
I hate you.
Terrible year.
Are you talking about just Yellow Card, or are you talking about everything else?
Just everything. No, screw 2016.
Well, in general, but Yellow Card is breaking.
Yellow Card's broke up this year. Motion City Soundtrack broke up this year. A lot of my bands that I loved growing up are broken up or broken up this year.
Well, Blue October hasn't done anything new in a while, have they?
Yeah, but they're still together as far as I know.
Yeah. And I know Modest Mouse is still together.
Yeah.
So that's what I thought you were saying, like, all three of them were breaking up.
And not necessarily that they don't sing well live. Like, Yellow Card, apparently the guy's voice just doesn't work live. But Modest Mouse and Blue October, the eccentricness of the lead singers can kind of make not a great concert going experience for the live crowd.
Yeah.
Cause I know, like, the best live show I've ever seen, have you guys ever heard of Mute Math?
I've heard of them.
Okay, Mute Math is an awesome band. Like, for those of you out there listening in podcast land, I highly recommend checking them out, particularly their first album. And I think one of the person I introduced really liked their third album the best. Anyway, I went and saw them live, and that show was just incredible Like, they are all extremely talented musicians on multiple instruments, but their drummer is insane and so good. And at one point in the show, he actually passed a tom out into the crowd. So the tom was surfing, and then he went out after it and was playing on the drum while crowd surfing.
That's nuts.
That's
and
crazy.
Yeah, and then he stood on the drum and had them pass it back onto the stage. It was so cool.
That
like,
could go so wrong so quickly.
It could have, but it didn't. And like the light show they put on was really awesome. At one point, they turned like they turned the back wall into an electronic drum set that whenever he hit a spot, it would send like yellow lights out of that spot onto the rest of the wall. It was so cool looking.
I would have loved to see the light show that Kanye West was supposed to do at Bonnaroo, but then the concert got pushed back until like 6 a.m.
You guys made me feel terrible that the only concert I ever saw might have had some fog. You know? It had my all-time favorite line of Cape Girardeau, "Welcome to Kansas."
Oh, why is that so funny to me?
We got more here. What are you most excited for this Christmas season? Snow, if we ever get it.
60 degrees on Christmas Day and rain.
What?
Yeah, that is the current forecast.
Bad.
Gross.
Yep, it's on the Friday the 23rd, it's supposed to snow. On Christmas Eve, it's supposed to warm up to about 50.
Yeah.
Christmas Day, it'll be 60 and rainy.
Well, God Fantastic. Bless you, China. You're sure making it warm for us.
I'd say most looking forward just, you know, giving presents. Because, like we talked about earlier,
it's fine.
I'm looking forward, I mean, giving presents and being able to go see... St. Charles.
Well, that's not on Christmas, though.
But it's still the Christmas season. Does it say season?
I'll tell you what, I'm most excited for seeing Rogue One, because I've been wanting to see it.
It's so good.
It's so good, I hear. Which one's Artemis and which one's Luna, asking for a friend? This is actually an important question. Artemis is the white cat, Luna is the black cat. So, glad we cleared that up, finally. You know, MC actually asked a question on here and deleted it.
Oh.
But I saw the question.
Yeah.
Because I think he realized what a terrible question it was to ask. He asked, "What's the hardest thing for you around Christmas?" And I replied, "Oh God." And he deleted it. So I'm not going to answer that question because I think everyone knows what the hardest thing for me is at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Whether you want, you know, if you've ever listened to this show on anything that is like emotional, you will know that I am a quivering mess at Christmas time. Physically and mentally. Now, thank by the way. So MC, I'm sorry you deleted that question, but the answer is everything. Christmas is just difficult for me. But, you know, I've gotten really good at distracting myself. So, you know, that's another reason I hate being in bed sick.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I'm alone, because I've been alone.
That's where the thoughts are.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. I've been alone for most of the time, except when Bob's off, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So me and Bob have hung out a lot the past 2 days.
Oh, but, that's a pick me up.
You know, when Bob and I are together, it's actually funny. It's when he's not around me that he gets sad. But yeah, Christmas
That's
is tough.
Cute.
Olivia Guajardo.
I don't know who that is.
Ex-girlfriend.
No. Oh, is that,
Ivy.
Yeah.
Used to be, Olivia. I don't remember her last name. Sorry, Ivy.
Does it not say right there?
Well, she's married now.
Oh, okay.
She's married to a guy that, all right, so we used to do an eFed. It was called CWR, of Cyber Wrestling Revolution. And if you ever see me make a January 2008 joke on people's posts, they're from that site.
Mm-hmm.
Long story. But Alex is one of the guys that used to do it with us, and me and Ivy used to date, and they talked through me. Then they actually got married, and she moved out to California and lives with them. So that's just the craziest thing. Congratulations to them. She has a question. I'm going to read it exactly as she wrote it. What keep you there? Do you ever consider just moving away? Ha!
Sure, that wasn't loud.
Yeah.
Sorry, listeners. If any of you can still hear.
Do you want to get into that one? Like, do I ever consider just moving away? That's all I've considered for like the past 3-4 years.
Alaska has come up a lot.
And yes. There's always something that keeps me here, whether it was my job or friends or relationships. There's always something to bolt my feet down to Cape Girardeau. now that I'm like, oh, well, I can go away now because, you know, dad passed away. I don't really have anything keeping me here. Well, now it's like, oh, but, you know, Podzilla's actually taken off pretty well. You got this working relationship with CW. What are you going to do with that? You know, we got these new stores open at Cave and blah, blah. And it's like, it never ends. Here's my advice to someone that's thinking of going somewhere. If you're thinking of moving away, but you want it to be the perfect time to do it, there is no perfect time. If you're going to go, just go, because you're going to talk yourself out of it every time. So. That's my advice.
What
hey,
you're
so
saying,
you can,
you're
can pitch
your,
in on this.
Your feet ain't moving.
So how are they going to catch me? Easily. So that's just, yes, what keeps me here? These guys that are in this building right now are pretty much the only thing that keeps me here. If I didn't have these guys and the other people that are close to me, I wouldn't be here. I very much would love, I always have fantasies of just being somewhere else, alone, with no attachments, no emotion. Like, I just want to just go somewhere. I want to be Logan. And just go somewhere and live in the wild. But I can't because of these people. And that's a blessing and a curse depending on the day.
We love you, Shannon.
But then at the same time, you also are just like, boy, I hate being alone. I wish I was alone all the time.
Yeah.
I think I've grown more attached to being alone in the past few years. Like, before I hated it, but with everything that's happened, like, sometimes being alone is just the nicest feeling in the world.
Being alone is great if there's like distraction.
Being yes. alone is like, great if you know that it's temporary.
If my Wi-Fi is down and I can't like do Chromecast to watch Netflix to have like Parks and Rec on for the 50th time, oh no.
Yeah.
This is where the thoughts are. Uh-huh.
I have to have TV on to go to sleep with. Yep. I can't just go to sleep.
Hey Jesse.
Yeah.
My name's Jesse. Remember that thing you did in third grade?
I do now.
Everyone remembers it too. They still think about it.
Thanks, Enter Jesse. So, you're the best.
I don't get bad memories. I get, I lay down and it's, so you'll be 35 next year, huh? Yes. That's still pretty young, isn't it? I think so. Yeah. You know, you're like 5 years away from 40 though. That's when your uncle died. You're 10 years away from 50 or 15 from 50. You know, getting older, death's going to come eventually. And you will be dead. You know that, right? And then I'm shaking going, oh my God, I'm going to die.
That's why you need to turn on The Office and just.
Mm-hmm. Or just some show.
Nothing gets me past the thought that I'm mortal.
Oh, that
did it.
Mike Branham also asks, do you have a guilty pleasure game or a universally disliked game? Lots of them. I'd say probably Dynasty Warriors or Onichanbara. I'm the only one that likes them.
Onichanbara is definitely a guilty pleasure
no,
for you.
Yeah. Dynasty Warriors is fun, but I don't think I could play it for as long as you do.
I bought every single Dynasty Warrior game that has come out and beaten all of them.
Because Dynasty Warriors is a lot of fun for about 30 minutes, a couple hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, there's something about it that keeps me coming
back. But there are stretches where I come in and it's like weeks at a time and that's all you're playing.
Yeah.
It's just Dynasty Warriors. I'm like, I don't.
Especially when there are better games to play too. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys will be playing Destiny. It's like, Shannon, you want to raid? And I'm like, nah, I've got to beat this Yellow Turban Rebellion again for the 90th time.
Yeah, because that's really the thing with me and Dynasty Warriors. Sometimes I just get the urge, like, I want to kill a whole bunch of people. Right now, and really quickly, and brutally.
By the time you finish that game, you've wiped out most of China.
You've wiped out the population of China.
Yeah.
Like, that has happened.
Wrong.
Do they have a like, a counter?
They show how many people you kill in the match.
But they don't show you how many
actually, it says KO. So, assume you just knock them out like
it's
Pokemon.
You're Batman.
Yeah.
He's just sleeping.
It's really easy to get the millions of people.
They're all tuckered out.
All tuckered out.
I think Sarah Summers was heavily hinting at coming on the show because she wrote, too bad we're not in Cape. Wait. And there was a part of me that thought, yeah, we could have Billy and Sarah on the show. But then I just, you know, messaged Jesse and said, hey, do you want to be on? Yep. And I thought, I don't really have the room for it tonight. Yep. So as much fun as that would be someday in the future, we'd love to have Billy back on and
especially,
Sarah, of course.
Like, especially not even on necessarily, like, especially no. if we just did like a Tuesday show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not just talk like about BW. Stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to hear Billy and Sarah's thoughts, all the guys actually, except Jason Vaughn. I'd love to hear all their thoughts on like things that are happening. So, you know. Nate Smith says, how do you tell when your best friend is actually a mind altering alien? I wasn't going to read this comment. Because it's just kind of and I know Nate doesn't mean anything bad by it. It's just a weird thing. But I actually have a story, and I've told this story before. When Lindsay and I were, you know, together and in bed, and I one night woke up, and I don't know if I was half asleep or if I was half dreaming, whatever. But I roll over, and I swear to Christ, Billy, I'm not making this up. Her face was half alien, and I, in my tired mental state at that moment, and she'll tell you this is true. legitimately thought that she was an alien trying to replicate me and turn and take me out so an alien would take my place. And I leaned up against the wall. I held the blanket up to me. I was terrified. I didn't want her anywhere near me because I thought she was going to replicate. And I kept saying, you're going to replicate me. And she's like, what the hell are you talking about? It's 3 a.m.
I'm just picturing the SNL bit. Yeah, I had kind of a different experience.
Yeah!
I don't think I was dealing with the top brass.
Yeah.
So, to answer your question, Nate, you can't really tell until they try to get you. Then
you won't know until they want you to.
Yeah. Jared Davis, discuss which is better, Harvey Birdman, Space Ghost Coast to Coast, or The Brack Show. Well, immediately The Brack Show is out, because that is just an abomination of God.
I never liked Harvey Birdman.
I did. Yeah, I liked both of those. But
I only saw a couple of, because I saw a lot more Space Ghost. I really like Space Ghost. Harvey Birdman was another one of those shows where it kind of felt like Tim and Eric to me, where this is just weird for the sake of being weird. Mm. And I know I immediately preceded that statement with, I liked Coast to Coast. But because I would see maybe one or two full episodes, but I'd always just see the commercials for it, and the commercials for it just made me look just...
The advertising wasn't great, but I actually did like that Harvey Birdman. And honestly, I didn't really give it much of a shot until Kevin Shankelberg came along. Because he was a huge fan of a lot of those Adult Swim shows. Mm-hmm. Some of them that I didn't like, but a few, like Venture Bros, he's the one that got me into that show.
That's another one that I never really cared for. I started it from the beginning, because I think it was on Netflix for a while.
Yeah, the first season is not great, but like the second and third season of Venture Bros was really good. Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna have to go with Mike Branham. He said Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Which Jesse was never a big fan of.
Correct. I just never could get into it.
We tried to show him and Kevin Aqua Teen multiple times, because we used to get pizza and we'd sit around and watch like Simpsons or whatever. And there were times we would try to put on like Aqua Teen and they just weren't having it.
It was one of those things, like I'll watch it if it's on, but I just never really liked it. And like you've put on episodes that are pretty funny, like when Shake has a kid.
Yeah.
daddy, up, please. That was pretty funny.
Or the Dickisode. Where the uncensored version is literally just miles of dicks through the entire episode. It was just weird. I'd also like to throw in C-Lab 2021 because I really love C-Lab for.
I watched a couple of episodes of that, but I never got into that
one. It was also of that weird.
That's
just
another
like,
one that I just, I think the advertising did more to make me, that just made me not want to really give it a shot. And then especially so, and it made me bummed out that I never really got into it because of the kind of homage couple episodes that Archer did with Sweet C-Lab.
Well,
I was like, oh man, I feel like I'm missing out.
I feel like Archer even had that same kind of art style that C-Lab did.
A little bit.
Kind
of. Of course, C-Lab was an old TV show that they redid, like
they
Johnny Quest.
Redubbed and, over.
Yeah. So I just love C-Lab. It was very funny to me. But yeah, I think of the options given, definitely
Space Ghost.
Yeah. I really hated The Brack Show. I hate Brack.
The Brack Show was awful.
It would be like if they gave Craig his own, like, series from Parks and Rec. It's like, he works really well for what they give you.
Yeah.
In the main series.
But you don't make them the
main character.
You don't
make them a star. Yeah.
No.
Agreed. All right. And last one, Hunter Hendricks. What's your all-time favorite video game character that you created?
Oh.
Wait, what?
What's your favorite video game character that you created? So, like, someone you've made in...
Like, a creator wrestler, or even just, you know, the RPG where you can...
I guess my... Even though this one really... God.
The only one I've created is me in 2K17, so...
She gets that
by
default.
My
I would probably have to say my warrior on World of Warcraft, because I do feel a legitimate attachment to him. Like it's a second life type thing. Mm-hmm. So that's the easiest answer, but I'm also going to say my character from Ultima Online, because before Warcraft, Ultima was like the thing, and I actually had my own personality. Like I had a guild that I was in and everyone knew me as kind of the young hothead. Cause at one point I was a teenager, as weird as that is. Christian Saint August was his name on Ultima Online. That's my favorite character that I've ever created. Jesse, what about you?
I don't know. I guess it's probably cheating to say Mass Effect, but I'm going to say Mass Effect.
I don't think that's cheating.
Just because like that's my favorite at this point, probably my favorite RPG.
And you had an attachment to that character, I'm sure.
I did. Cause yeah, I mean, I say that. The first character I created in Mass Effect, I ended up having to remake because it drove me insane. I had toyed around with, like, because that was one of the first games that gave you as much control, I think, over the character customization. Because you could change so much stuff about your character. And my character looked awesome if you were looking at him straight ahead. But if you went profile, there was an interesting deformity.
I hated that. Those games were like, insert. You ever had that game inserting certain lighting? You're like, oh, my character looks awesome. But then the shadow hits just right. And you're like, oh, my God, he looks like a mongrel. Delete. Delete. So,
and what's, and I, the bad thing was I didn't find out about it until maybe like an hour to an hour and a half in the game when I caught it at that angle. I'm like, oh, no.
And then you just couldn't unsee it.
I couldn't unsee. So I had to restart. I had to restart the game. There's that. And then in the very first Fable game, I made a character that ended up being called a witch hunter. Cause I guess that's the combo that I ended up choosing. That one, he just looked and felt and played awesome.
I really want to say an Old Republic character too, because I really enjoyed our characters on the Old Republic.
I did too.
Your deformity reminded me of, there was a game, you remember Aeon?
Yeah.
I played Aeon when it came out, because I play all the MMOs, and I spent a lot of time, because the character creation was really good, and you can make really cool looking characters, and I made this just absolutely, because I used to play at women a lot, especially back then, it was like, well, I had that theory of, if I'm going to play someone, I'm going to play someone pretty I can look at. So I made this just super gorgeous blonde girl, did not know you could select a voice. So I had this super hot blonde girl, and when she would fight, it would go like, huh, huh, huh. And I tried to put up with it, and I could not. So I ended up deleting the whole character and starting again. I couldn't just have that Zarya. No, thank you.
That's awesome.
Asa?
This one's hard for me because I'm not a huge RPG person in general. And those are really the games that you really get that in-depth, creative character.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know Bob would say Saints Row. He made a character on Saints Row that he probably would be his favorite. It was like an English hitman that he loved.
I mean, anytime I create a character, I usually kind of go the button-up, like, suit and tie and professional.
In, like, GTA.
That's what I always do in GTA. It's what I always do. Like, right now my GTA character is it's basically the Scarecrow because you get that Halloween mask and then he's just wearing the suit. So I would have to go with just the continuation of characters from every wrestling game when I make myself. But I never make my realistic self. I always just do like, okay, if I have the ability to just like, I can just transform anything about me, this is what I become. And then like, this is who I would be as a wrestler. So I'd go with that, or probably my first playthrough of Knights of the Old Republic. Cause I really like the way that
Knights of the Old Republic.
I really like the way that I played the character in that, because I skewed to the side of good, but like there were a couple of my companions that didn't really like me.
Oh, you can't
because
win them all.
Yeah,
it's true.
So that would probably be it. Because I never got into the Fallout games. Even Skyrim, I never had any sort of attachment to my character.
Nope.
That's because they were always the silent protagonist kind of. Fallout 4 changed that a lot because you have dialogue.
Yeah.
But I never felt the same attachment for them that I did for like the Old Republic or Knights of the Old Republic. Mm-hmm. There's just something.
And like Mass Effect, everything was voice acted even.
Yeah. And it's the Old Republic, like every mission, like very much
Mass
Effect.
Oh, yeah, the Old Republic, yeah.
But like Fallout, there's just something about it that just makes it feel very like you're just a cardboard cutout and the world is happening, but you're just kind of there. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. It's a weird thing. We have a follow-up question. What about an established character not of your creation? So I guess this is just what's like, your favorite all-time video game character.
Oh,
and my God, that's just too difficult.
That's real hard.
I have one that immediately comes to mind, and it's Handsome Jack.
Oh, I do like Handsome Jack a lot.
He's hilarious. He's terrifying.
He has motive.
Yeah.
Like he's a conflicted character.
He genuinely thinks he's the good guy. But he's very clearly not.
I'm torn on it because I would want to say Squall from Final Fantasy VIII. Mm-hmm. Not because he was a great character by any means, but I just loved. He had the necklace. He had the gunblade. He had cool hair. He's what I wanted to be as a kid, you know? Or Richter Belmont because he was my favorite Belmont.
My answer is very different from everyone else's.
It's Kirby.
No.
It's the little iguana from Unravel. Or what was it? It's the guinea pig. Chipmunk?
What?
What are you talking about? Well, the answer is Yarny from Unraveled, which is the main character, because he's just so cute, and the story is so cute, and... ah!
Jesse, last one. We got here.
My favorite character.
It's so hard.
Like, it really is.
Yeah, these are just basic answers.
Just, I mean, yeah. and that's the only reason I go with Handsome Jack, because that was literally the first, like, character that's, especially probably the most recent, like, video game character that's really struck a chord with me in the sense that I remember them.
I'm gonna go with Frank Fontaine from Bioshock.
Which one was he? Was he the main guy?
He was the main bad guy.
From Bioshock?
Yeah.
I thought that Ryan dude was the bad guy.
Andrew Ryan. Andrew Ryan is who it starts out as, and then you learn that the actual bad guy is Fontaine.
I did not know that. I never finished.
Think. I might have that. I might have that reversed, honestly.
That's one of the things where I'm kind of still kicking myself because I wanted to get, Best Buy was doing that buy two, get one deal.
Yeah.
I'm bummed I didn't get Bioshock Infinite or the Bioshock Collection because I still haven't played either of them. I've rented one briefly, but then I got sidetracked. So I missed it for like a day and I forgot where I was and where I was going. And
we played one quite a bit, but I only played one. I played a little bit of two, but I never played Infinite, and I just kind of lost interest in the series.
I've heard nothing but good things. So I really want to be able to, I have a short attention span. I have so much other stuff that I'm playing. Like
so much other stuff that we're doing.
It's the same thing like with Last of Us. I need to play Last of Us. It's just,
free copy of that and I never played it.
Yeah.
On PS4.
I got one cheap, like a digital code that came in from Amazon. And it's just like, I know I'm going to have to like give this energy and time. And I just don't really have either of those things.
I want to change my answer.
Change your answer.
I forgot about Warcraft, the Lich King, Arthas. He's probably my favorite character because a conflicted character who's just badass and he's got Frostmourne and he's got when he becomes the Lich King, Arthas is just amazing. Jesse's looking this up. I'm trying to stall so he has time to answer.
Oh, no. It ends with Frank Fontaine.
Okay. Very good. All right. That's it. We're out of here. Billy, come over here and say goodnight to the folks. Thank you guys for listening. We're going to be back tomorrow with Pro Wrestling Unscripted. We got a lot to talk about, don't we? Roadblock. Oh.
Well, we got Roadblock. We got Total Nonstop Deletion.
It was an awful week for wrestling. Yeah, that's going to be the whole show tomorrow. If you wanted to hear us bitch like we haven't bitched in a long time, stay tuned tomorrow. Thank you guys for listening. Billy's going to take us out. Billy, get over here. Say goodnight, everybody. Into the microphone.
Good night, everybody.